This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Rob Gronkowski continues to flirt with the WWE. Series of tweets over the last couple of days. The weekend tweet was cryptic. The next one, not so much. When the next day or yesterday, he tweets out, I'm sorry, no limits? Is that what he said? No limits?
There are no, all caps, limits.
And that is a catchphrase for an upcoming wrestling event that's going to be this week.
Fastlane.
12 days away from Fastlane.
12 days away from something called Fastlane, in which there
are no limits.
Their tagline, their promo line is no limits. So Gronkowski clearly is going to be involved with this thing in some way, shape, or form.
Fastlane.
We think.
Then today, he tweets out a link to a story by Mojo Rawley, a wrestler who he credits, credits the Gronkowskis with getting him starting in his wrestling career.
That's correct.
Is that a fair summation?
It's fair.
And Gronkowski said something like, friends and family.
Yep.
And so further linking himself to wrestling. So this is feels more than a flirtation or more than just a contract ploy. Feels pretty strong if that's the case. Jimmy Stewart, furthermore, has checked with his wrestling sources and believes what in terms of what Gronkowski could earn this offseason, Stu, in terms of just working with WWE.
I've thrown out a few hypotheticals to people, and my hypothetical was, in 6 weeks, could Rob Gronkowski make $2 million? And most of them came back with, yeah, about that. That sounds about right. So 6 weeks of work, doing WrestleMania and merchandise money, Rob Gronkowski could make about $2 million for WWE.
So doing some events leading up to it as well.
Yes.
So doing some...
Maybe he's the big surprise on SmackDown tonight that they've... put in their info box.
So there's another event tonight called SmackDown.
That's their weekly programming. It's the blue brand.
And what's their inbox? Whatever. In their inbox?
No, the info. If you go to the info box.
Oh, the info on the guide.
Yeah.
They're
promising a producer, not a talk show host.
They're promising you a surprise. So is it possible Gronkowski has just signed on to WWE this offseason in the run-up to WrestleMania and WrestleMania and making a few bucks off it? But the real question is that really an entree for him joining wrestling, leaving you, and really going forward with this thing? I think the threat's real. Furthermore, it was brought up earlier by Maz. Interesting point. How could the Patriots possibly like this or endorse it? Or, like, are you able as an NFL player to go sign with a competing league? You know, I know it's not technically a sport, but just work with me. A competing sports entity like wrestling to promote, endorse, front, and then compete in? And I know compete is a debatable word. It's more like a play. But is that kosher? Are you allowed to do that?
He's already done it.
Don't you think you have to get approval from the Patriots?
I would think.
I mean, I would think it's in violation of his contract if he doesn't have approval.
Jimmy, do you think he got approval last year?
I don't think he did, but I don't know that. But I don't think he did. I think he happened to be in Orlando at the event, and he was there to help his friend, and they protected him by having him not get hit, throw himself to the ground, whatever, contact on him, and he got paid for it. He got paid quite well, close to $1 million.
I understand, but the point being that maybe he didn't ask last year either. He just did it.
And maybe he got aired out about it, too, and that's one of the things that ended up making him upset this season.
Okay, but again, so what are they going to do to him about it? What are they going to do, cut him?
No, of course not.
At which point he's a free agent. He can sign wherever he wants.
See, I just think that he's got him. He's got, like, again, Brady wants him now. They're fully committed to Brady, and whether he and Brady are best buddies or not is irrelevant. Brady knows how good he is. He's the only guy who would throw to at the end of the Pittsburgh game, for crying out loud. When the money's on the table, where's Brady going with the football? He's going to Gronk, so there's no issue there, and he trusts him. I just think Gronk's got leverage now, and he's sort of looking at him saying, you want to cut me or you don't want to pay me, I'm out.
Okay, meanwhile, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston on TV last night with some fabulous bit of reporting and just some real, I think, interesting insight into the whole situation, the future Gronkowski and his relationship with the team. This is Tommy last night.
It does defy explanation to a degree until you start kicking over some rocks and talking to some people and trying to get, you know, your fingers on the pulse of it. And I've done that quite a bit. And he didn't enjoy himself in 2017. He did not have a good time, despite the fact his body was in a better situation than it's been in a long time, ever maybe. Despite the fact that he is one of the most dominant players at any skill position, starting to wear on him physically, mentally, the atmosphere here in New England.
Just to clarify really quick, so when you say in 2017, so a lot of people look at that, the concussion that he suffered in the AFC Championship, and said maybe that's what scared him. Was this going on before that?
Yes.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads, and he was, he was pissed. And the season played out, and by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
There's just a lot of meat on that bone that goes beyond Gronkowski. Did not enjoy himself in 2017, did not have a good time. And Casey Smith, there again on the show last night, says the concussion thing, did it start even before last year? Tommy Kern was not talking about injuries. He was not talking about concussions. He said it's starting to wear on him, the atmosphere here in New England. He's not saying the injuries are starting to wear on him. Maybe they are. Maybe that's a side topic. But what Kern is saying is that it's the atmosphere here in New England that's starting to wear on him. It started in training camp last year. He considered walking away in training camp of last year. Said he wanted to train a certain way, and the team didn't want him to train that way. That is a clear reference to what's going on there with Alex Guerrero. Rob Gronkowski became a Guerrero guy this year. So when Guerrero was kicked off the sideline, kicked off the team plane, kicked out of the locker room, Brady didn't just lose him, so did Gronkowski. So that probably rubbed Gronkowski the wrong way. And then furthermore, Brady got Guerrero back on a certain level because they let Guerrero back into the building, but they only allow him into a side room off the locker room where he can see only one player, Brady. So now Gronkowski loses his guy, but doesn't get to see him in the stadium like Tom does. He has to still schlep to the TB12 method up the, around the corner.
Because Tom's special.
I guess. I don't know. So when Tommy Kern says it's starting to wear on him, the atmosphere here in New England, what's he referring to? And then he said it's not just Gronkowski. Principal players are not happy with the atmosphere and climate on the team. And there still needs to be a hell of an air clearing going on down there. Again, there's just a lot to chew on.
And with all of that, I think there's more you can read into this last tweet that he put up 7 hours ago. It's a team effort with family and friends. It's a team effort with my family, my friends like Mojo Rawley, and the rest of my new WWE superstar friends. Not a team effort with the New England Patriots and the coach, Taskmaster, who I'm getting sick of, and Tom Brady, who acts like a diva. How come he gets to have the trainer and I don't? That doesn't seem like a team effort to me.
See, I don't think his frustration is with Brady, though. I think his frustration is with the decision makers who allow Brady to do some things and don't allow other players to do it. That's where I think his frustration is. Now, if you ask me, what's the source of the problem? Brady and the enabling of Brady. That's what's pissed Belichick off. That is what has pissed Gronkowski off. Like, to me, that's at the source of a lot of it. Brady, we're taking care of Brady all the time. Tom's getting taken care of. Tom doesn't want Garoppolo, Garoppolo goes. Tom wants his trainer, Tom gets his trainer. No one else does. Like, you add all that up and Gronk gets pissed. And so I just think, look, as we get deeper into this, there's a contract play in here somewhere. Whether it's 10%, 50%, I don't know. The contract's part of it, and if they give him the money, will he play football? My guess is probably. But I, at the same time,
see, I mean, it's the money's always number one, so start there. But I think Robert has a lot on his plate. He's got to make a lot of people happy. He's got to, somehow keep the coach on board while catering to these players. They've catered to Brady. Now, Gronkowski's saying, "Well, where's mine?" And not just the money, but considerations internally there with trainer and blah blah blah. You mentioned earlier, Brady gets his workout facility. He gets his TB12 method. That's in Patriots Place. Where's Gronk World? What if Gronk wants to open up a gym?
Well, and the rumor is that a couple of years ago or a few years ago that he did. Again, Planet Gronk, the Gronk Gym, I don't know what, but something to that effect, and he was denied.
Well, not afforded the same opportunity that Brady was.
Right. And so, again, different rules for different people. And I just think when you're a guy like Gronk, and Curran said it there, my mind started to spin as he said it. He said, when you talk about skill position players, right, take quarterbacks out of it. Who's the best skill position player in the league if you include tight ends?
Gronk's up there.
I mean, he's in the top few, isn't he,
yeah.
At least?
Yep.
Like, you really, if you think of it in those terms, Should Gronk have to play for a $5.5 million incentive?
No.
No.
I mean, it's absurd. It really is. It's absurd. When you think of it and compare him to Antonio Brown or whoever else, all the guys who get the ball in the big spots.
He's in that class of the most impactful receivers in the league.
I mean, the fact that he had to play for $5.5 million incentive this year is asinine. When you think of it in those terms.
Just to get to 10.
Right. Right. Because the base was $4 million or $5 million or whatever the hell it was. Like, you can see why he would say, no. You want me to stay? Not only do you have to give me the same incentives, you have to guarantee it. Because otherwise I'm out. Like, I don't know if he's serious. Let me rephrase. I don't know how serious he is. He's serious on some level.
But again, there's a lot to chew on there from that Kern report. Principal players not happy with the atmosphere and climate and still need to have an air clearing. So the Malcolm Butler thing is part of it. I think the Malcolm Butler thing is the leverage by which the cracks show. Again, Gasper's line, winning is a great deodorant, but when you don't win, then it tends to stink and these things tend to come out. And I think that's what's happening here. I do not blame Belichick. I blame him for Butler. That decision, that was horrid. But I don't blame Belichick for the atmosphere and climate. The atmosphere and climate here has always been the same. What's changed is the entitlement of some of the players.
The quarterback, Mike.
Meaning Brady and Gronkowski. I think the atmosphere and the climate's been the same, and I think Bill's been consistent with it. Whether you like it or not, or think it's right or not, that climate and that atmosphere has been the same since he walked in the door. What's changed? What's changed? I think it's the players. I think the players have changed.
Tugger and Mez. The Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a sports dork now.
That guy is a hack.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay.
This started in training camp. He seriously considered stepping away from the game in training camp. He kind of had it. At that point, his body wasn't responding. He wanted to train a certain way. The team didn't necessarily want him to train the way he wanted to train. They were at loggerheads. And he was, he was pissed. And the season played out, and by the end of it, I don't think that some of the principal players on this team were really happy with the atmosphere and the climate. All the stuff that we've reported about, all the stuff we've talked about, they still need to have a hell of an air clearing at Patriot Place to get these guys back.
Mark Daniels, Providence Journal, Patriots beat writer for the Projo, tweeted, part of that, along with the NBC Sports Boston video, the team didn't necessarily want Gronk to train the way he wanted to train. He was pissed in the way his season played out. He goes on to say, Mark Daniels, that's true. The Patriots also didn't want me to write a story on Gronk doing the TB12 diet and working with Guerrero. Gronk agreed to talk to me about his new diet, and when the Patriots found out, they told me it couldn't happen. But since Gronk really wanted to talk about it, he did. In the end, I still got a 1,400-word feature out of it, but it was annoying how the Patriots tried to stop the story.
Well, look, that tells you plenty, doesn't it? I mean, again, what was the thing Curran said that, he couldn't work out the way
he wanted to. Yeah,
the way he wanted to. So this is a source of contention. What was the stuff we heard during the season about, if you're a player and, for example, says a certain guy the team wanted to do squats, he didn't want to do them anymore.
Right. Bedard wrote about this. It was Gronkowski, from what we understand. Basically, what it was Gronkowski's coming off of back surgery, and he goes into the team, and the team says, well, it's leg day, we're doing squats. And Alex Guerrero says, you just had back surgery. Why are you putting 400-pound dumbbells on your back? I can do squats. And Gronkowski didn't want to do squats. And the team said, dude, you're a football player. You do squats. And Guerrero said, that's stupid. And so, that's just, one of a million examples. I don't think that blows it up.
Yeah, but that's probably part of the reason Guerrero got bounced.
It is.
Because he started undermining the regular training staff and training methods.
And I'll tell you what, I'm still with the Patriots on that. I mean, I understand what Alex would be saying. You just had back surgery. Why are you doing squats? But it's football. You got to lift weights. And maybe Brady can get away with the yoga body that he has. But everybody else needs muscles. I'm sorry. So it's like, you can't have your middle linebackers and tight ends doing hot yoga. They got to lift weights and have some muscle. I'm with the team on that. And oh, by the way, even if we're wrong, we have to call the shot. The team has to be able to determine how the players train and what their bodies are. We own the bodies. It's our decision.
Unless it's a quarterback.
Unless it's a quarterback, then we're gonna lay down and let them do whatever
okay,
he wants.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying, though. The training methods are one thing. We believe in weights, you don't. Fine, whatever. The team should have control over that. But why does the quarterback still get his guy and the tight end doesn't?
So this is what other players are probably looking at.
I mean, to me, this is what is at the source of it. Is, again, they will bend the rules for Brady. And look, I get it. Quarterback's part of management. You and I understand that. Does Gronk? Gronk's looking at it going, fine. Okay, yeah, I get it. He's a quarterback. How important am I? You're telling me I'm not important? Because if you rack up the, again, use Curran's words. If you rack up the skill position players around the league, who's picking me first? Everybody? Like, you know, to me, this is what comes back to the Kraft's back in Brady, Belichick being pissed about it, Gronk saying, if he gets it, how come I don't get it? Now Belichick's got a mess in his hands, and, like, it all comes back to enabling Brady.
And I think there are some layers, too. You know, principal players not happy with the atmosphere and climate on the team. So Brady and Gronk, it's a Guerrero thing. Other players, I mentioned this earlier, we totally forgot about the kneeling down stuff. You know, that first week, a bunch of players knelt down, and Bill did not only not support him, but it felt like he told him to shut the hell up next week because a player didn't say a peep and everyone got on their feet, which, again, I'm not asking you to feel a certain way or the other on the political part of it. It's just, did that rub players the wrong way? Is that a lingering issue? I'm just curious. We've totally forgotten about that stuff. Totally forgotten about it. Now he's got the Butler decision on top of it. So as Curran said, still need to have a hell of an air clearing down there at Gillette. So just a lot of layers to the story. Let's go back to the phones. Dom in the car. Go ahead, Dom.
Hey, I just had a thought. With Gronk now kind of chumming up to Vince McMahon, is McMahon going to make a play, pair him to what he truly wants to do, and have Gronk be the first major star of the XFL?
Yes, I think there's a tie-in. Yes, I don't know what it's going to be, but why wouldn't... If WWE and Vince McMahon is luring Rob Gronkowski, and the WWE and Vince McMahon is once again relaunching the XFL, why wouldn't you leverage Gronk with the XFL in whatever role? Make him a coach, make him the commissioner, just make him a character, make him a hype man, make him the director of officiating, make him what something, and have him, yes, that's just a natural, and it's a no-brainer, and I think it increases Gronkowski's value to Vince McMahon.
I mean, you use him on multiple platforms, right? That's what you're talking about. And the other thing is with the XFL, hell, if Gronk is smart about it, he can even say, if this thing works, I get X. You know, hell, maybe they give him a couple of percentage points in the company or something, in which case he could really score big. Like, if he starts to get that kind of deal, you know, they if they're going to use him, they got to use him right and use him everywhere.
Neil in the car on the Celts and the draft pick situation. Hi, Neil.
Fleeger, you pitiful fool. Do you think this is about the Lakers pick?
Well,
yes, I do, Neil. I do.
Yeah, well, no, it was until they fell to 10th in the lottery standings, I guess.
Which pick's it about, Neil?
It's about the Sacramento pick the following year, guys. Come on. You're smarter than this. You think, you know, Danny put that protection in 2 through 5 so that he'd have the Sacramento pick the following year.
You are unbelievable. You are, if Danny told you to put your head in the oven, would you put the head in the oven? Like, you really think,
Sacramento, do you think they're going to be outside of the lottery?
Neil, all we heard when the Lakers were sucking earlier in the year is how Danny nailed it, how he knew it was smart to keep the Lakers pick versus the Brooklyn pick, and he hoodwinked the Cavs into taking that Brooklyn pick because the Lakers pick was going to convey this year. Now that they've fallen out of the lottery running, it's now about next year.
The only thing I will say is that this year the lottery looks tremendous.
Stacked.
There's so much talent at the top of the draft. But that Sacramento pick is plan B. It's backup. It's right there. I mean, Sacramento's going to end up in the bottom 5.
You have a nice backup plan. There's no question about it.
Neil, you're out of your mind.
I wasn't hearing about the backup plan a couple months ago when it looked like the Lakers were going to be at the bottom of the league.
You're out of your mind.
I was hearing about the brilliance of Danny Ainge for keeping the Lakers pick and peddling the Brooklyn pick. And now it's flopped. Now it looks like Brooklyn's going to be in the top 5 of the lottery, and the Lakers are going to be way out of it. So now it's about Sacramento. Got it.
I'll tell you what. As of right now, I'd rather be 2 through 5 in this draft than number 1 in the next one. How about that? Do you know what's in the draft next year? Garbage. There might be a player or two at the front end who's raw, but that might not have the actual skills to be a star player.
Isn't there a fellow that just signed with Duke for
Zion Williams
to be the one and done, and he's like the guy?
Yeah, but again, he is he's the one we were watching the other day, right?
Yeah, he's like the next LeBron.
Except he can't shoot.
Guy that blocked it into the 10th row in that clip you showed me?
Yeah, except he can't shoot.
That's a problem.
So like, I look at it and say, I would rather have, again, I look at this draft. This draft is loaded at the top.
Green Teamers, it's okay. Danny Ainge made some brilliant moves. Brilliant. He pantsed. He pantsed the Sixers. Pantsed them. Getting them to take Markelle Fultz and you end up with Jason Tatum? Killed it. The Kyrie Irving trade? He killed it. No one's taking that away. The pick may not be what you thought it was going to be.
It's going to be the Sacramento Kings pick. It's going to be better.
Wait, when hosts aren't listening, you just, did you just
pick? Yeah, I know. I was mocking him.
Okay, thank you. Again, I don't understand humor.
Let me say it again. I'd rather be 2 through 5 in this draft than number one next year.
All we're saying is that the pick's not working out the way you thought it was
going to. No, Maz, you want to be Sacramento next year.
I'd rather be 2 through 5 in this draft.
No. Number one, Sacramento next year, Maz.
And you know what? So would the Celtics.
John and Randolph, quickly on the Sox. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Tony. A guy called a little while ago and was talking about who had the better rotation, the Red Sox or the Yankees, and all the Yankees have is Severino. But they have Jordan Montgomery, Sonny Gray. If they get anything from Sabathia this year, and plus the Yankees have a lockdown bullpen, and they have a better lineup than the Red Sox. So I don't know what that guy was talking about, but I'll just listen to your comments.
Yeah, so look, that's Allen in Florida, and God bless him. I mean, Allen loves the Red Sox, and he follows him closely, and he's underrating the Yankees' rotation. They are deeper than Severino, but they're not great. I mean, they're not great. The Red Sox rotation's better than New York's. And other than Montgomery, who's the fifth starter in Sabathia, he left out Tanaka, too, who was throwing the ball well at the end of last year.
But their bullpen's better.
Loaded.
The Yankees' bullpen's better.
Yes. I mean, they got how many guys out there that throw bullets? And, like, you know, everybody says, well, Betances, Chapman, Robertson might be the best of the lot. Like, you know, they got plenty of guys out there. Their bullpen's stacked.
Here's an update with Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris in the car on Gronk. Go ahead, Chris.
I don't understand how anyone thinks there's even a question in front of Gronkowski, because it's what Mass said. McMahon's going to give him the piece of the league. And you're talking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs money at that point. You can't even make that in the NFL.
So, if you're talking about what he can make more with over the next 30 years, it's not even close. He's got 2 to 4 years left of real earning power in the NFL. That's it. If he's smart with wrestling and everything else, it's the next 30 years.
Yeah, in terms of getting points in the XFL, like, I don't know if that league will succeed, right? So I don't know ultimately what that'll be worth. But if it's a perk and it's not the centerpiece of the deal, and there's no way it would be the centerpiece of the deal. You know, Gronk's got agents. So you make as much fun about Gronk as you want. But no financial advisor with a half a brain is going to say, yeah, put all your marbles in the XFL.
I think this wrestling stuff, even in the short term, is fascinating. How can it possibly be within his contractual right to go do something like this?
It can't be.
Without team approval, right? The teams, if you get team approval, you can do whatever you want. But how in the world could it be written in these player contracts that they're allowed to go roll around a wrestling ring and sign for, again, promotional and those sort of dollars? While these things are going on opposite the combine, opposite the draft, opposite some off-season stuff that the league is doing.
There's no way.
There's just so, it's like, okay, so Gronkowski does it and then asks for forgiveness later, which apparently he's gotten. And even if he doesn't get it, like, what's the team going to do?
They can't do anything.
They're going to cut him? Great, I'm a free agent. No problem. Like, he's got him. He doesn't need to ask for permission.
I mean,
he wants to get fired.
Okay, so even if he is not a free agent, like, I don't know what their options there are. Suspend him.
Hold back money.
Toll his contract. Like, right. I don't know. If Gronk has options outside of football that he is serious about now, what does he care?
Right. And, oh, by the way, is that the right way for the team? Are they going to go to war with Rob Gronkowski here?
No, because they'll piss off the quarterback if they do that on top of it. Like, so to me, again, a lot of it comes back to Brady and Gronk's value to Brady. If they have made Brady this important, and they've picked Brady in the Belichick, you know, Brady tug of war, then what are they going to do now? They're going to back Belichick on this one?
They got to go all in on Brady and his guys. And Gronk's past, whether he's a friend of his or not, or close in the Brady circle or not, if he's part of the boys' club in Montana, he's not. Boy, Brady wants Gronkowski on the team and on the field. So they have to go in all in on Gronkowski. They back themselves into the corner on all this stuff. Kevin at UMass. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. So, if we need to hit free agency for our D, I got a few thoughts. Some players I think would be worth the money: Navarro Bowman, inside linebacker; Nigel Bradman, outside linebacker; and DeMarcus Lawrence. I know Bill doesn't like to break the bank, especially for the ends, but Lawrence is a game changer. I like to think of, like, Chandler Jones times 3. He doesn't hit a wall in the second half of the season. I think he could have won us the Super Bowl.
Okay, babe, I'm not ready to do free agency stuff. I think what is interesting is how they need to replenish at the draft. again, there's no first or second round pick on the roster taken in the first two rounds, the last two drafts. You have not made a first round pick in 3 years. You have not made a second round pick that is stuck on the team in 3 years.
Well, Cyrus Jones is still here.
Okay. Other than Cyrus Jones, that's the only guy in the first two rounds.
How about who has contributed in the last 2 years in a positive way?
Okay, but he didn't contribute last year. So that's a huge gap, man. You got to start filling that back in with young talent. So they have to make their picks. However, and Murray raised this earlier, Marcus Peters is a good young corner in Kansas City, who's totally nuts, by the way. He choked out his coach in college, chucked a flag into the stands, and got suspended this year in Kansas City, and total mental case. But anyway, one of the best young corners in the league just went to the LA Rams for a fourth and a second. And I said earlier, if you're the Patriots, what if you use the Garoppolo pick to go get Marcus Peters? Do you think you'd be able to sell that to your fans? Everyone's just pissed off about the Guerrero thing, and rightfully so.
I would have been thrilled.
Would you have been able to say, as the team, well, we just traded Jimmy Garoppolo for one of the best young corners in the league? That makes sense.
Sure.
I mean, I think that would be a good sell on the team, on the part of the team. They don't want it.
I mean, Peters has, basically, he's in the same spot that Brandon Cooks was a year ago, and they gave up a first for Cooks.
So I think it's a fair second guess by Big Jim Murray over there. Nick and Quincy. Hi, Nick.
Hey, first time, long time, guys. My takedown in Foxborough is that I think the issue is Belichick. I think it's the business-like atmosphere, the no days off thing. That's like the no fun zone. I mean, they don't have any personality down there. Football's an emotional game. You know, Brady's like a robot now. I mean, they got to loosen up or Gronk's going to go.
I see. Okay, Then go. To me, I'm not blaming Bill and his atmosphere and culture. It's the right atmosphere and culture. Does he take it too far? Does he overemphasize some things, like the way they treat the media is stupid, doesn't help him win games? Some of the things are overboard. I agree with that. But in terms of making it clear to the players who's in charge, that's important. And I don't want that to change. And I don't blame Bill for keeping the atmosphere and culture is the same as it's ever been. It's the players who have changed. The players, Brady, Gronkowski, these guys have gotten a little entitled late on in their career. And that's what's changed, not Bill.
Well, and again, if the owner, you know, if the whole thing went down the way we think it has, which is to say that Belichick wanted to keep Garoppolo and ultimately was left with no options and the ownership effectively backed the quarterback, well, then you just told your whole locker room that in a matter of, you know, great importance, the quarterback's got more power than the coach. So how do you think Belichick's going to react to that?
So,
I mean, to me, I'm sorry, and I know I keep going but to me, that's at the core of it.
Kraft, by overstepping Belichick and appeasing Brady as they have, Kraft has undermined Bill's culture, and he's undermined Bill's culture down there.
Right, so that ultimately Gronk looks at it and says, oh, so that's what happens when you're a great player and you want something? Fine. All right, you know what? I may retire after this season because I was pissed off in training camp anyway, if you believe the Tom Curran report from last night. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying Curran's reporting that Gronk was ready to walk in training camp. So now you got all that going on, and then Gronk's going to look at it and say, fine, Bill, dig your heels in. I'm out.
Again, Curran says principal players not happy with the atmosphere and climate. I blame the players. The atmosphere and climate, I like. Again, I'm not telling you it's perfect, that he goes too far. Bill does in some places. But the no fun zone, as a caller said, good. It's about fun. It's about winning. That's the whole point. Who's that a-hole in Philly?
Lane Johnson,
who keeps talking about, I'd rather win one than five and have a good time? Like, wee! Great!
Maybe he was on to something.
This is the way.
I'm joking.
But, I don't care about your fun. I don't care if you have fun. I want you to win, and that to be the chief priority. And I think that's Bill's atmosphere and climate. And I think if the players have a problem with it, then I'd move on from the players. But if the owner's bending over backwards to appease the players over the head of the coach, like, here's the issue.
I mean, again, it goes back to the quarterback. I'm sorry. I mean, to me, Brady's at the center of the whole thing. And, I don't know, now that we're talking about it and the whole fun thing, you remember Gronk with that celebration with Cooks on his back? And he said, well, I want to talk about it, but I'm going to get in trouble if I don't talk about it.
Good. I don't blame... shut up, Gronk. What, your touchdown dance, is that important to you?
I'm just wondering if that is further evidence of sort of his...
I think it might be.
...genuine displeasure with the whole sort of vibe down there.
And there's another one where Gronk answered, I can't remember what the question was, but I talk about it, but I want...
It
was that, but I thought there was another time where he said, I talk about... No, he goes, I'm conflicted, like, I want to talk about it, but But if I do, then I'm in trouble. But if I don't talk about it, then... Do you remember that?
Of course, that was the one with
Cooks. Are you sure that was the same
one? Yes. Yeah, it was when Cooks was riding on his back like he was giving him a ride. You know, he was playing a horsey in the backyard.
Part of me says, let him ride him like he's a pony. Who cares, Bill? But the other part of me says, shut up, Gronk. Who cares about you? What is this, win, dance, and repeat? We've been Andrew Benintendi in center field. Wee-hee! Woo-hoo! That's not what we do around here. We don't care about your stupid dance. So, on most of this stuff, I side with Bill. I really do. Here's a long commercial-free segment next.
Rob, the Patriots haven't been making full use of the more relaxed celebration rules this year, but following the final touchdown of the game, it looked like Brandon Cooks appeared to hop on your back and ride you like a racehorse. How did that particular scene come about?
That was not planned or anything, and we got yelled at. We're not allowed to talk about celebrations. That's what we got told, but I kind of want to talk about it. But I kind of don't, because I'll get in trouble. So I don't know what to do. So it just happened on the spot. It wasn't planned. We'll just keep it there.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Having continuity, keeping things going, you know, the fact that Tommy and Bill Belichick and my family have been together for 18 years. There's a lot of strong-minded people, but when you have something good going, everyone's got to get their egos checked in and try to hold it together.
Gronkowski's on that list, too. And the Gronkowski family's on that list.
For sure.
There's no question that that's part of it. And this is part of it. And, again, the current stuff, just fascinating, where it's really, it's not necessarily about the injuries. You know, he's asked by Casey Smith about the concussions. And it's really not about that. I mean, Curran said it's starting to wear on him, the atmosphere here in New England. That's what's wearing on Rob Gronkowski. Not the injuries, which might be on top of it. But that's not what he's referring to. Curran's referring to the atmosphere here in New England is starting to wear on Rob Gronkowski, to the point where he almost retired last training camp. And again, I want to give credit to Greg Bedard, who wrote that early last training camp and, again, got dumped on by guys like Jeff Howland, guys who cover the team, like, bleh, you're never here, what do you know? Bleh. And it turns out Bedard was absolutely onto something, as usual. He was onto something that Gronkowski didn't look right early in the year, just body language-wise he was talking about. And turns out Kern hears the same thing, even beyond that, to the point where he was not happy being here.
I mean, it does start to explain some of the stuff you saw from Gronk during the year. Again, we played the comment going to break last segment about, you know, Gronk after the celebration with Brandon Cooks. He was asked, I want to talk about it, but I can't talk about it. I'm told not to. And then the thing in Buffalo, when he loses his mind, gets suspended for drilling that cornerback on the sideline. Like, again, because I think that frustration, when it builds up over time, I don't think it's like, you know, he was mad at the officiating that day. There have been plenty of games where he's mad at the officiating. He doesn't lash out by jumping on a guy on the sideline. But you add them all together, and then all of a sudden he gets to a certain stage of the season, he's like, this is bullcrap, and he loses his mind. I mean, to me, that's how it happens.
Okay, we continue with your phone calls. Joe in the car. What do you got, Joe?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, situation, and doesn't want to be involved at all, especially with Deflategate and Spygate and all that.
So, all of Guerrero's people have passed all their tests. So, I think you just got to assume that whatever's going on, if anything's going on, is covered. So, I don't think that that's it with Bill. I think what's it with Bill is that this guy, Guerrero, is giving the players conflicting advice. You know, football coaches and football trainers want you to lift weights. It's just what you do. And so they want Gronkowski to lift weights, and now Guerrero says you're coming off back surgery. So why do you want to put 400-pound dumbbells on your back and squat when you're just coming off a back surgery? Seems like common sense by Alex's saying. I'm not saying that that's the wrong advice. I'm just telling you, football teams typically want to dictate how their players work out and how they train. They don't want their players to have ballerina bodies. Because they've been working, because they've been doing hot yoga and resistance bands. When it's fine for the quarterback, obviously. But can the rest of the roster do that?
No, he's undermining the training staff. Guerrero's undermining the training staff. And that then undermines Bill. like, you know, so there's a like a transitional effect or whatever, transitive, however you want to categorize it. But like, think of the mess they're in now with regard to this whole thing because of the Brady element. Now they've traded Garoppolo, so they're all in on Brady. Gronk's pissed. So Gronk's threatening to leave. What are they going to do? Go all in on Brady and then let Gronk walk out the door? Brady will be pissed.
Got to go all in on Gronk.
Okay, which suggests that they have to go all in on Gronk. So if they go all in on Gronk, let's say you're, I don't know, Edelman. Edelman wants to go to TB12, or he wants some sort of latitude to be able to do what Gronk's. Like, there's this chain reaction thing of guys that are important to Tom, and, like, you know, it creates a big problem.
Jeremy in Maine has a Red Sox thought. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, guys, hear me?
Yes, what do you got?
J.D. Martinez. I had no idea. We thought it was a clever or cute to start calling this guy just Dingers, but after digging about, get this, it started in Detroit with David Price. I can't stand it. It's so pink hat, Tom Werner.
Who calls him? This is the first I've heard of this. They call him just Dingers?
They call him just Dingers Martinez. The Red Sox just posted an Instagram post today with branding it. T-shirts are being printed. I need your guys' help to put this to death and squash it before it becomes a thing in town.
Oh, my God. That sounds so them and so painful. It sounds right in line with wind dance and repeat. It's just, it's a word I want to use, I can't use. It's not acceptable anymore.
It's
harmless, but it's so.
Can you say fruity?
You don't even know what word I was going to use.
I know what word you were going to use.
You have no idea what word I was going
to
use.
I know exactly what word you were going to use.
Just Dingers.
Just Dingers.
I hated that call.
Why?
I do. I hate the call because I don't give a rat's ass what their marketing is. Yeah, what JD stands for is just, I don't care. Like, that's stupid. They put it on Instagram. I'd rather talk about Gronk. I would. I'd rather talk about Gronk. I find the Gronk story so much more interesting than the stupid-ass T-shirt about J.D. Martinez.
Mine was only 45 seconds. It's over. Now we're moving back.
Well, with that foot, it could be just damaged.
Very
45
good.
Seconds
Thank you.
We'll never get back.
Jeff in Haverhill. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I think this whole time, everybody's always kind of followed Brady in following Belichick's lead and listening to everything Belichick says on the team. And Brady had no problem whenever they went get rid of a teammate that they didn't think that they should be getting rid of, whatever, before they lost their value. But at the beginning of the year, Brady thought they would trade Garoppolo, which they didn't end up doing. And now that it's him on the chopping block, he's not really following what Bill says.
So I'm just going to stop because I'm already lost. Do you understand what the hell he was saying?
No, my head's spinning. But at the
I'm going to go back to the J.D. Martinez T-shirt.
Like, well, where are we going to go with that, J.D.? Yeah, it's stupid. Next call, please. Let's move on.
Yeah, so Gronk really could go to WWE. He could be at WrestleMania as early as this year.
I'm just telling you that the whole thing, the Patriots have a predicament here because they chose Brady. They chose Brady, which in and of itself is undermining Bill. Okay? Now, Gronk wants what Brady wants, and they need Gronk. So now what do you do?
Got to give it to him, too.
Okay, so if you give it to him, what if Edelman wants something?
And meanwhile, the coach is sitting there going, this is exactly what we've been trying to avoid, Robert. We don't let the players call the shot. That's the whole point. That's the crux of this system. We are in control, not them. Now they're in control, and here you go. Yes, that is what they're dealing with.
I mean, I just think, again, that comes back to a bad decision at that time in terms of what they did with Garoppolo. But that aside, now they're stuck. Like, because again, look at it from Brady's perspective. What are you going to do? Not have Gronk now? 41-year-old quarterback? You've invested in him? Not that he's a bum. He's obviously still playing at an extremely high level. But now you're going to take away his best red zone weapon?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.